Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What are you afraid of? That's the opening question that I have for you this morning. It's on the screen. Are there things in life that make you uneasy, nervous, downright scared? You can admit it. It's okay. It's kind of a universal thing that comes, it seems, is with each stage of life. As we get older, we might not be afraid of the same things that we were afraid of when we were younger. It makes me think of when I was younger. I used to be really scared of coming up out of the basement. The light switch was at the bottom, so you always had to turn off the lights before you came up. And sometimes I'd run up really fast. Sometimes I'd take two or three steps at a time just because it was dark on the bottom. Sometimes I kept my head turned back to make sure no one was following me. And you know, looking back now, it sounds kind of foolish, but when I was 7 years old, let me tell you, it made all the sense in the world. What was it for you? Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of heights that keep you grounded? Do you still shriek at the sight of a spider? Do you get nauseous at the thought of public speaking? All these are common phobias, and many people have them, but people can usually outgrow them or possibly learn to adjust. But we are really here this morning to talk about those kinds of things, are we? What about the big ones? You know, the real grown-up fears, the ones that rob you of joy, the ones that take your peace from the day, that take your love out of your heart, that keeps sleep from your eyes. What are you afraid of? Maybe it's that diagnosis that's less about a cure than it is about a treatment. Maybe you're afraid for your family, their safety, their spiritual well-being, even their lives. Are you afraid that maybe your past is starting to catch up with you? Are you scared about the ever-increasing disparity between the slim bank accounts and the fat bills that need to be paid? It's another question that just flashed up on the screens. Does your fear of the future paralyze you in the present? Maybe you're thankful that you've outgrown that fear of the darkness, because sometimes it seems like darkness is your only friend, just me and my fears and trapped in the prison of my own brain. The wheel starts spinning. The fears, the uncertainties, the doubts enter in. Fears are real, dear friends. But you ever take a step back and just ask yourself that bigger question, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Well, there's really no universal answer to that question, but as I said last Sunday, I think most fears boil down to uncertainty in our lives, uncertainty whether the past is really the past, uncertainty about what might happen in the future, uncertainty whether we can really trust someone or something, uncertainty, doubt, fear, they're real in our lives. And in our reading for today, we find ourselves asking the disciples the same question, or at least I did. I found myself asking, why are you afraid? Why are the disciples so afraid? I mean, come on. They heard the words of Jesus, drive out demons. They watched Jesus' hands touch the unclean, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, give lame legs to walk. But now, this angry Sea of Galilee bombarded their boat, and the disciples succumbed to the fears, and it comes to the top of the phobia list, I think, of what they were really truly afraid of, and that is death. Death. You know, you think about the disciples when they are on dry ground listening to Jesus' teaching, they felt pretty bold and they felt pretty unafraid in those situations, but now that the ground seems to be giving way to a watery ride, it seems more natural for fear than trust. Have you ever been there? You know, life's smooth sailing, things are going well, the wind is just in the right direction. It's easy to feel like Jesus is on our side. We're ready to give credit where credit is due. You know, God is good. He really knows what he's doing. But when life gets real and the storm clouds build and the boat starts taking on water, our sinful nature always wants to jump in and get in the way of our faith. And that means we give away to things such as fear and doubt and uncertainty. It's like we're saying, I know, God, that all things are to work out for my eternal good, but this time it seems different. And it's at that moment, dear friends, that you and I, we need to ask ourselves, why am I so afraid? Jesus is in the boat. The gospel lesson from Mark tells us on the screen, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. So he was in the boat, he was preaching. So they just took off from offshore. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now let me share a little context of the Sea of Galilee with you just so you kind of know. That's a picture that you see of it, of one area of the lake. It's situated in a valley with high hills on both sides of the Sea of Galilee, so it's said that winds sweep down the hillsides, collide over the waters, and then cause these storms to arise on the lake in the snap of a finger. And that's what's happened here with our disciples. It happened, and it wasn't pretty. Waves kept on pounding against the boat. Water was rushing in. Hope was flooding out. Excuse me. And just like that, if you think about these disciples, many of them were seasoned sailors, but now they've become petrified passengers. Remember, right, some of the disciples were fishermen. They grew up on the water. Most likely they fished on that very lake they were on right now. But now it seems as the storm came up, they were afraid for their lives. You know it's bad when the professionals are panicked, right? And so it was no joke. There was petrified Peter, there was terrified Thomas, and there were the fearful 10 that faced this prospect of a watery grave more seriously than ever before. The wind was howling, the waves were pounding, the rain was pelting, and Jesus was asleep. Does Jesus ever seem like he's sleeping when you need him most? There's a question up there on the screen for you. It's not a new phenomenon, dear friends in Christ. God's people throughout the ages have been wondering why God would let evil come in to his people's life seemingly unchecked and even flood into his people's lives. So if you take a quick skim through the Psalms, I don't know if there is such a thing, but I pulled a few psalms out just to give us an idea of the people of the Old Testament as they were lamenting to God as they felt left and abandoned. Things like, Awake, O Lord! Why do you sleep? Rouse yourself! Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our misery? Why do you forget our oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Rise up and help us. Does it ever seem like God is sleeping up there while you're down here dodging the darts of the devil all on your own? When things are going well, as I said, it's easy to feel like Jesus is with you. But what happens when the seas of life begin to get choppy and the boat starts taking on water? Faith, it seems, gives way to fear, doubt, and uncertainty. We say things like, it's not fair! Why would God let this happen to me? I'm a Christian, you know. How come my neighbor is doing so well while I'm struggling so hard and barely scraping by? Why is it my loved one who has an illness? Or why is it my loved one that was taken away from me too soon? What's going to happen to my family? What's happening to our country? What's happening to our church? Doesn't God care? Where is he? And this is where we might find ourselves joining in with the disciples' refrain, right? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And I thought about, where does a question like that come from? Ever think about that? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Where does a question like that come from? Well, the disciples, they knew that Jesus cared and they knew that he could help. And in my opinion, then, that's why they asked the question. When we're rocked by the storms of life, when all of our pretenses are stripped away, we got no more resource to throw at it, no wisdom to navigate through it, no power to change it. It seems like there's nothing but uncertainty out there in the future. Emptied of myself, at the end of my rope, we too cry out the same thing. Teacher, don't you care? And as we do, we get to see and we get to realize all the more fully just what it means that Christ is everything. Just what it means, how true it is that Jesus Christ is all in all. Mark tells us that Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and the waters were calm. Have you ever stood on your front porch? There's a question on the screen. Or on your front step and shouted down a thunderstorm? We can't do it, but watch Jesus. He's no ordinary man, this man who calls out into the stormy darkness of Galilee. He is the Almighty God who calls creation into being. What a remarkable association. Here's a guy who's sleeping on the stern of the boat, and he wakes up and he flips the storm switch from on to off. See, Jesus is showing us he's true man and he's true God. As true man and as true God, Jesus is able to not only calm the storms of our life, but he's able to calm one of the greatest squalls in the world. And you know what that is? Our sin. As true man, Jesus was there to take our place. To take our place under the law of God, and as true God, he lived every minute of his life to the will of his heavenly Father. For all of our selfish worries, for all of our irrational fears, for all of our self-made uncertainties, for all of those false idols that you and I run to, that we cling to, that we think will help solve our problem and bring us hope. Eventually, like those disciples so long ago, in the midst of the storm, we too cry out, "Teacher, don't you care?" And Jesus leads us to a place where he was nailed to the cross to pay for our every sin. He leads us to the place where he was swallowed up by the Father's wrath so you wouldn't be. Jesus cares. And even more, he forgives. Jesus cares, and even more, he saves. Jesus cares, and even more, he is with you always. And precisely because he cares for you, he drowns you. Now, hang on now. You heard me right. He drowns you. It's going to happen in our second service right over here at the baptismal font. We have a baptism. And it's going to happen through the water and the word of the baptism, but the amount of water is a lot less than the Sea of Galilee. But there, over at that font, sins are drowned to the deepest depths. Never to return. In the waters of your baptism, you, dear friends, have been connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day you can go forward with the promise of God in hand. Forgiveness of sins, home forever in heaven, and in the meantime, well, he'll never leave or forsake you, even in your greatest storm. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? When we think about it, the things we fear in this life can be irrational, right? Think about it. How can a person our size be so deadly afraid of a little spider? How could I have been so foolish to think that someone was following me up out of the basement of my house? See, fears can be irrational. But with Jesus on your side, and he most certainly is on your side, you don't have to fear anything in this life or the next. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And know here that Jesus isn't calling his followers unbelievers. That's not what's happening here. What he's doing, instead, in his love, he's showing remarkable patience, right? And teaching them and teaching us an important lesson. That God will make good on his promises. Even and especially when it seems hopeless and impossible in our lives. When the disciples saw those waves battering the boat and the water creeping up to the shins of their legs. What they didn't see right away was that Jesus is in control of everything. So what are you afraid of? In life, what I see out of my eyes can and will deceive me. What never fails, though, dear friends, is the promise of God in His Word through His full counsel of God's Word, the Bible, and that promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's where we find ourselves today in the story. We know that our Savior promised us what we have His promise, but the evidence around us in the world makes us constantly reevaluate, right? Because of the brokenness and the sinfulness in the world. You know, when it's your health question, when it's your family that's broken, when it's your loved one you had to bury, when the devil goes to work on you and the guilt comes pouring in over the starboard side of your boat, you're bouncing up and down. Are you in that perfect storm today? Are you doing everything to survive? Have you battened down the hatches? Have you lowered the anchor? Have you consulted the bank, changed your diet, called an attorney, tightened your budget, gone to counseling, gone to rehab, gone to therapy, yet the sea is still churning, the waves are still coming? Remember, please, that Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in your boat of life, and He will see you through every single time. He's paid the price, and with His resurrection, He's put all the fears behind us, death being one of them. With His Word, He stands at your side all the time, saying, "Be still. Be still. Be still." He has claimed you, He has cleansed you, and one day He will welcome you home. And let me add and conclude, this promise that you have on you, it has no expiration date, there's no fine print, no conditions, no strings attached. The promise that is attached to you is older than the foundation of the world itself and brand new every morning. Isn't that cool? It's a promise that sustains you today and for eternal life. So we end our series that we've been through since September today, remembering that our main scripture was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 20. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Why are you so afraid? Jesus is in your lifeboat. That's a promise. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the promise of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.